It's hard to be away from friends, from family. You know, those who move away or we've moved away, being distant, especially when someone's in transitional time. My sisters and I have been in that. My mom had knee surgery, many of you know, a knee replacement. And one sister's in Florida, one's in Colorado, and I'm here in Connecticut. So I had to go. I was the only one that could go. I wanted to be near. I wanted to see what was going on, see how she was faring before the surgery and after. And she's doing quite well. You know, proximity is important. You know, think of those loved ones, those friends that are, you know, not close by anymore. You know, we can text, we can video chat and Skype and all that, but, you know, I looked at one of those once when I was away and with Elsie and like, boy, is that what I look like? So it's not the same of being there in person. Distance, nearness. Consider that paradox in the passage that Jessica just read from Luke 23. It ends with the acquaintances, some acquaintances of Jesus and the women watching at a distance. But also the centurion was right at the cross and he saw how Jesus died. He was praising God, saying, truly, this man was innocent. And that's a centurion. Luke plays with the absurdity of those who are close to Jesus, even those who are laying hands on him, and yet they were so far, so distant from who he really was and is and always will be. In each of those cases, the distance seems final. Like, there's no hope. You ever feel like there's no hope for someone in your life or someone you're acquainted with? Oh, there's no hope for them. But in Luke, he insists that Jesus remains radically present to those who would betray or deny or cast derision upon him. Even those who doubt, who unbelieve, even in our day and age, Jesus remains radically present. Do we realize that? The nearness of God in our life, the potential for anyone. Let's take a look at a few of the characters in the story with this paradox. The chief priests and the scribes, they make sure they remain close to Jesus. They rise up as one to take him to Pilate, and then from Pilate to Herod, and then to make sure he gets to the cross. They're right there, making sure that everything is done, falsely accusing and taunting. But in the midst of that, Pilate and Herod become friends. They hated each other. But because of the innocence of Jesus, you know, they both say, this is an innocent man. They knew it was a spectacle. But they became friends. They became close. They made amends. What about Barabbas and Simon of Cyrene, two interesting characters? Barabbas maybe never came up to Jesus, but at a distance in the jail, he could tell something was going on. Was he drawn to the Lord in a special way, given his freedom? How about Simon of Cyrene, who bore the cross, selected? In so doing, he encountered Jesus face to face. What was that for him? You know, for both of them, it's a gift of grace, whether they're right close to Jesus or far away. How about the criminals? Talk about proximity. Chosen to be crucified alongside Jesus. Now, crucifixions were not like that usually, where three were done at the same time. It was usually one. But because of Jesus, to make a further spectacle, to bring shame on him, they put a criminal on either side. Karl Barth said, which is more amazing, to find Jesus in such bad company, or to find the criminals in such good company? They were next to Jesus. With the criminals, Jesus' nearness takes on the form of solidarity and suffering. Are you suffering? He is in solidarity with all who suffer for what he went through. But something greater is happening here. Barth goes on. He says, we do well to remember that this reconciliation is what those who put him to death really accomplished. They did not know what they did, But Christ, the Son of God, knew. In Luke's account, distance does not diminish the dangerous company of Christ or that good company. For those who are running away from God, it's dangerous company, but it's still good company because of what can take place. So however distant our experience of God's work of reconciliation, Luke testifies that in Christ's suffering, God's kingdom has drawn near. God's kingdom has drawn near. And Jesus drew near to people. The kingdom was dawning. They preached the kingdom of God is at hand, is broken in with Jesus and his ministry as he ministered to people. He preached, he healed. He's a sympathetic figure to those along the journey, even the women who are weeping along the way, the daughters of Jerusalem. He expresses sympathy for both thieves. You know, really, he did. For all who taunted him and baited him with evil words, he did not repeat a word back. What an example. Oh, I'm ready to sting back. How about you if someone stings me with words? But all his compassion for those in need, all who crucified him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. His forgiveness, the death of Jesus brought about the forgiveness of sins for all people, for everyone. And that's the message of the early church, the missionaries, even till today. The forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Peter said in Acts 10:43, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The compassion, the forgiveness of Jesus. Those two themes that keep drawing people to the Lord. But, you know, have you ever encountered someone that just had no idea how much God loved them? No one else had ever loved them in their life. They don't even love themselves, but they encounter the love of God and it just changes. You know, it's like, wow, really? He loves even me for all that I've done? Those themes are still powerful today. And it turns out in Luke's gospel, just take a look at a couple examples, that distance is a relative term. Or in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man's far away and he's lamenting, he's tormented, watching Lazarus being taken care of, this poor Lazarus. What about the parable of the publican and the Pharisee? The publican humbled himself outside the temple, far away from it, and he said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And the Pharisee was inside the temple and said, Lord, look how good I am. Proximity, distance. The women standing at a distance, watching the things that were happening at Calvary. Can you imagine with them? They were engaged. They were watching. They were waiting. They saw everything. Even though they were distant. Where were the followers, the disciples? They were nowhere to be found. I'm out of here. Could happen to me. Well, what about us? Our distance and our proximity to God, to others. How are we dealing with that today? You know, two people can be in the same household, in the same town, and they used to be friends, or they're family, or we're family, or whatever it is, going to be so distant from each other. That's a reality we all know about in some form or another. But God has a purpose for each of us. Do we accept it, or are we running from it? He has a purpose for today, tomorrow, for every day, for each of us. The nearness of God to others, those seeking those who are in need. That's you and that's me, folks. We are the nearness of God in flesh. Because the Lord always wants to draw near to His people. Psalm 34:18, God is near the brokenhearted. Pastor Ann with the kids, a wonderful object lesson this morning. Psalm 145:18, God is near to all who call upon Him. Consider Barabbas and Simon again, who were brought near by a gift of grace. Barabbas may have said, "Wow, are you kidding? You got to be kidding. I'm free." And Simon might have said, "What? Why me? I'm just passing through." But okay, I'll carry the cross. And one criminal scoffed and rejected the suffering, dying Messiah. And the other criminal responded asking for mercy. "Lord, have mercy on me. Remember me." What brings you near to Jesus today? What brings you close to God today? I love what Ephesians 2:13 says. It's for this Holy Week. It's a Good Friday kind of passage. After reading the Passion narrative, Ephesians 2:13 says, "We have been brought near by the blood of Christ." That's the only thing that could bring us near to God is the blood of Christ, His sacrifice, His body broken, His blood poured out. So Hebrews 10:22, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to be close to Him. I want to be near. Maybe not too near sometimes because I might have to change. But I want to be close to you, Lord. Because Christ's desire is to be near to us and us to Him always, to reign in us and to reign through us and to reach a world beyond us. He can do it on His own. There are dreams and visions happening all over the world. There are people of other faiths coming to faith. They have a vision of Jesus and they repent. It may put their life at risk going home. But it seems in the Western world, He uses us. He wants to use His church, people like us, to reach. He wants to reign in us and through us. You and I are called to be Christ to others, seeking reconciliation where there's alienation, healing where there's brokenness, brokenness in the church, in the nation, in the world. This is our mandate, our mission, our vocation. Those who dare to claim the name of Christ must bear Him, heeding His call, healing divisions, restoring life, seeking peace. Jesus compels us to find any way to address injustice, to seek peace. And the church, as the body of Christ, becomes the living presence of God to the world around us. When you and I bear the nearness of Christ, God, from this place into the many places we go, to our homes, to our workplaces, to school, the community, the store, the hospitals, the prisons, all our associations and relationships, public and private. Because Christ's compassion and forgiveness is revealed through us. How is it going in our life? Christ's compassion, His forgiveness. How do I reflect that in my relationships with family, with neighbors? Yes, there's a call in this. A final story. Some of you probably heard the name Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf. What a great name. Wouldn't you like to be named that? Our Covenant Roots have some wonderful stories of the of this man and his connections, but that's for another day. But during the years of his youth, he was quite rebellious. Can you imagine that? Some of us can imagine that very well. He grew up in the church, but, you know, later on as he grew up, you know, I followed a little bit of that path. He knew better, but he lived a life that was not worthy of the gospel or of Christ and the cross. So one day, a family friend brought him to an art gallery. There was a special painting, a picture that everybody was going to see. And so he went along to see it. It was a graphic depiction of the crucifixion of our Lord. I don't have the name of the painting, because it didn't say the name of the painting or who painted it. But there was something about the picture that gripped him. There was something about it that just took hold of him as if he was in a trance. He stood there for a long time just studying it. And then his eyes spotted the writing on the bottom of the painting, which read, "All this I did for thee." And then, what hast thou done for me?" And it just hit him. He saw the truth about God. He saw the truth about his life. He repented. He returned to the Lord, his church, to get involved in ministry. He was brought near there by the blood of Christ and sent by the Spirit. How about for us now? For several weeks, we've been journeying to the cross. We'll do a little bit more of it this week. We kind of went from Palm Sunday to Good Friday just today. But you're invited to come to more services to walk this journey. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let the cross do its work in us. Let us bear the cross, the nearness of God, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness of God. And the last thing that Jesus shouted in this passage today, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He was fully trusting God into his care, his death, his dying. Let us commit ourselves to God and to God alone today. Let us take up our cross. Amen. One final song.